It's Cofield and Company, live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Get the Tower brought to you by Battleborn Injury Lawyers. 766-1400 is the number. 775 is what you dial in the north. 775-766-1400. Parles, Cofield, Mateo down here at Treasure Island at the Golden Circle Sports Bar. It is NFR week, so you want to come here to the Golden Circle Sports Bar, but even better, head over to Gilly's where it's going to be jumping through this weekend. A lot of good times at Gilly's over the years. Let's get to the Big Four.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big Four at Four. Number four.
So, Parles, you went to Europe, what was it, a couple months ago, and I know you were really jonesing to go to, was it a Bayern Munich game?
It was Bayern Munich and Borussia Dortmund. I was priced out.
You got priced out.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to get that level of soccer here for the World Cup next year. When do the tickets go on sale?
So, the final random lottery has officially opened.
Oh, wow.
You have 1 month to apply for as many tickets as you want. You can apply to one game a day, up to four tickets, and it's dynamic pricing, and people in Europe especially are very aggravated, Cofield. But FIFA today claimed 5 million people applied for tickets, including me. I can tell you that. Late last night, because I couldn't fall asleep, I saw the email in my inbox, and I'm like, you know what, this is a good thing to do a little bit after midnight Pacific time. It's a good thing to do after midnight. So I applied for 9 separate games, 20 total tickets in those 9 games, and if somehow I win all of them, it will be $6,500 for me.
Oh, wow. Get ready.
Get ready.
You're going to be working a lot of Cofield and Company shifts.
All I'll say is the chances I win any of those games are probably slim enough.
Not to be a smartass, but it's intended to be a smartass because it's actually a very serious topic. Did you put any strategy into picking sites that involve these countries? Argentina, Brazil, Colombia, Ecuador, Paraguay, Uruguay, Panama, Mexico.
Did you say Ecuador in there?
I did.
Okay. So Ecuador, the only game involving a South American team I applied for was Ecuador and Ivory Coast in Philadelphia because it's the first game in Philly, and I also need to be on the East Coast for a wedding the day before.
Oh, wow. I think you're getting that.
That's the one that I applied for. So,
what do you think the demand is in the United States for these tickets?
I think it's better than you think.
Okay,
but it's market dependent. Like, I think so. Like the U.S. markets, like so. I think L.A. is going to be very hard to get. I think Seattle is going to be very hard to get. I think Kansas City is going to be really hard to get because it's the biggest event ever in that city. I think Dallas is going to be hard to get, and I think Miami will be hard to get. Atlanta won't be so hard. Houston, don't think so. And all those I-95 corridor cities, Boston, Foxborough, Philly, and the Meadowlands, I don't think they'll be as hard as people think.
If we were to stay on the same path with ICE rocking and rolling, that's why I picked those countries.
Yeah.
If they're still scooping out people left and right, and then apparently we're also potentially with immigration, well, tourism, we're getting even tougher on letting people in, a bunch of different qualifications. I wonder how many people are going to travel here, or is it going to be a completely healthy event? This will be lifted for the event, and an edict will be sent out there like, hey, you're good to go, just come, there's not going to be issues.
I think as it gets closer, you're probably going to be closer to the latter. I mean, you're gonna be, as anything with that topic, there's a lot of noise out there, and there's going to be a lot of noise in the lead up. I'm just interested.
Yeah, by the way, you would also think by World Cup starts June or May next year?
Or mid-June.
Okay, so mid-June. By mid-June next year, mission should be accomplished, should it not?
Maybe. You never know. You don't know. We don't know. I don't know. I'm out of my realm on that one, so we'll see.
Yeah, I think the storyline is going to develop, you know, as we get closer with. Although, you know what, I don't know if the World Cup and FIFA even care.
I know FIFA doesn't care.
I don't think they're going to stand. They're certainly not going to stand up and go, this is not right.
No, you just saw. I mean, they gave Trump an award last week. So,
well, I hope you get some tickets.
I hope so, too. I just want to get...
I like your strategy.
Yeah, we'll see. The only problem is now that I'm looking at it, as I just said, I think L.A. might be the hardest ticket. L.A. is the venue I applied for the most.
Yeah, there you go. Number three.
Number three.
Well, I feel like your budget for going to Mets games is probably going to be spent on the World Cup because...
Boy,
the Mets have not had a good first couple of weeks. They've lost Brandon Nimmo to Texas. Eddie Diaz goes to the Dodgers. This one, I think, is absolutely absurd. Pete Alonso, third in the league in home runs and first in RBI since 2019, is gone. On a five-year deal for $31 million a year, off a really good year. This is outrageous. And, like, I'm all about you can move on from guys, and loyalty is not that big a thing. But Pete Alonso really came through last year after they treated him like crap last offseason. And did they even make an offer?
Not reportedly. You know, it's funny. When the Nimmo trade happened, I just didn't like the return. I think Marcus Semien is done. Like, he's a great defensive second baseman, but he can't hit. The Diaz thing annoyed me to no end because of who he went to. It's one thing if an AL team got him. I'd actually be less annoyed if he went to Atlanta. That's how annoyed I was that they lost him over a slightly less contract, less money contract, to the one team you can't let get an elite closer. The only flaw the Dodgers have had the last 2 years is their back end in the bullpen is stunk. And now they have the best closer in baseball. Forget it. Good luck. And the Alonso thing, look, the writing was on the wall. They completely messed around with him last offseason. They were lucky he came back. And I'm not surprised. And after watching his press conference today, I think he's happy to be out of New York. And you know what? For David Stearns, who, by all accounts, is a very smart person and built a winner with no money in Milwaukee, you have the richest owner in the history of professional sports. Stop acting like you're running the Milwaukee Brewers or the Pittsburgh Pirates or the Tampa Bay Rays. Andrew Friedman went from Tampa to the Dodgers and has spent a zillion dollars there. I don't care that you gave Soto the biggest contract in baseball history last year. Your team won 83 games. You are significantly worse today than you were at the end of the season, at the end of that collapse. I don't know what the plan is. It doesn't seem like there's a plan. And you know what I feel the worst for here? I feel horrible for Devin Williams, who is going to be the guy who every Met fan, including myself, associates with this horrible offseason. And that first time, can you imagine if Devin Williams blows a save on opening day against the Pirates? Can you imagine what that reaction is going to be at Citi Field? We didn't put Philadelphia to shame with the booing on that. Stearns, he put the pressure on himself. He's doing it his way. If it doesn't work, he'll be the GM going into 2027 because of the uncertainty with the CBA. But if they're not good in 26 or 27, he's gone once 28 rolls around.
I will come over the top on this, and, you know, you can have your rant. That's good. You're a Mets fan.
Sure.
But they are ultra wealthy, and there are tons, especially hitters, there are tons of hitters on the market.
Sure.
If they want to go for the second group or the middle class and build more depth and still spend the same kind of money but on a bunch more players, I think they're going to be fine. If they're trying to go on the cheap, then you're right. That's bullcrap. But there's so many intriguing names still out there.
Mm-hmm. The one
case... And frankly, with what I believe is still sort of like a soft collusion...
Sure.
I don't know that there's like... You know, Kyle Tucker, I don't feel like 14 teams are going to be in on Kyle Tucker.
So...
Now, is he a Boris guy? We'll look it up.
I'm pretty sure
that might be a case where he waits until freaking, you know, April 19th. It's not going to be that late, but you get my point.
Well, I know Bellinger's the Mets have been linked to Bellinger the whole offseason. I don't know how good Cody Bellinger is at this point, but I know he's an elite outfielder defensively, and that's something that I know.
Well, he played okay in New York. He also had a pretty good lineup around.
Well, also, too, look, Bellinger's played in L.A., Chicago, New York. He's handled the three major cities in the country pretty darn well in his career. The interesting thing to me will be the report. A report I saw yesterday drove me insane, that the rumors are, hey, this is what the replacement for Pete Alonso is going to be. Jeff McNeil moving to first base and Paul Goldschmidt. Yeah, that excites everybody there.
Yeah, that's nonsense. You can't do that.
That's no good.
Number two.
Number two.
So many different games in the National Football League that you could say are the best game of the weekend. I don't think a lot of people are putting this up as the best game, but it is a great game. Packers, Broncos. in the contest, because I think the line to me looks weird, I took the Packers on the road. I'm not super confident in that pick.
You took it because it looks so bizarre to Green Bay's favorite.
I know that's not a good way to bet, but there are times when you look at lines and you're like, okay, this doesn't make sense.
I'm with you. I thought pick was perfect for this game, honestly, even with the home field for Denver. I don't know. On paper, record-wise, obviously, this is the best game of the week with the with the best record in the AFC and the second-best record in the NFC. I am so intrigued to see how Green Bay's defense plays on the road because they have been significantly worse away from Lambeau Field this year. And Jordan Love, for the most part, has been significantly worse on the road as well, except for that game in Detroit, where I think the Packers just had Detroit's number this year. And Bo Nix still terrifies me. So I stayed off of it from a betting perspective. From game theory-wise, everything this week, I am fascinated to see how it plays out. The only thing I feel good about in that game is that it's going to be low scoring. That's the only thing I feel good about.
Top story.
Number one.
So Sharon Moore, the former Michigan head coach, charged about 3 hours ago with stalking and home invasion. I assume there could be more charges coming if the stories are true that he had a knife, may have threatened the woman with the knife. Who knows what happened beyond that. Ugly situation. More details we get, it gets uglier. I do want to be a little bit of a voice of reason before we go into, at least I am, another day of annihilating Michigan and Michigan men. I do want to point out that on this knowledge of what was going on, I'm going to believe Michigan on the surface with this. They did an investigation. This is an HR-type deal. Both sides in the relationship said there was nothing beyond normal in the relationship. At that point, I don't know how much more you can do. Now, should they have had PIs around Sharon Moore to figure out if I don't even know if they knew about the rumors of the OnlyFans stuff and other women. Should they have been digging deeper? Maybe on that. But the borderline violent stuff, the break-in, that all happened after they fired him. So to me, that's that, and the mental health thing, we still got to find out, like, did Sharon Moore ever say, hey, I've got issues? Like, should they have given him help? I don't know, but I do think there's a line of demarcation where he went, you know, way overboard on the legal side of things. And keep in mind, she only showed up on Wednesday and finally said, you know what, I didn't tell the truth the first time around. There is something going on. And at that point, they made the move. Now, I still think a lot of it is motivated by the fact that they don't love him as a football coach, and he went 9-3. I just think we have to be careful to some extent. But I will say there's a massive culture issue at that school.
Well, it's going back, almost two decades now? Like, even past Harbaugh?
Yep.
Like, honestly, anything past Lloyd Carr at this point. You know, it's just the whole story is just horrifically, just really a horrific story all the way around. And obviously now with what happened after the fact, with Moore, obviously very startling.
We'll talk about potential coaches, and then I do have to play some audio from Michigan Man. Man, can someone step up, please?
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Yeah, so before I went to break, make no mistake about it, I'm not here to give a soft touch to Sharon Moore. I'm talking about workplace environment. Details on this Michigan story, and I know a lot of people are like, Michigan knew about this for the longest time. Well, they really couldn't take action specifically on his relationship with the subordinate until she confirmed that there was something that was over the line. They both said it was not of a romantic deal. Now, there's also Jeff, and we're talking about Sharon Moore, who was charged today with home invasion and stalking. He's fired at Michigan. He went off the deep end, allegedly, once he was fired. When I see stuff like in the building, quote, everyone in the program has known this the last two seasons. Does that mean that he's a womanizer on multi fronts or that he had a relationship with this woman? If it's been known for two seasons, I do wonder what action Michigan took or can take without violating employees' rights. I do think there are certainly conversations with Sherrone Moore that you can have that would certainly dissuade him, maybe not from this relationship. I mean, I would try to, but also all the other stuff he was doing, which apparently he was reaching out to lots of women. And it's more of a warning, like, hey, this may not be illegal, but this is going to put you in a position and us in a really bad position at some point in the future. What are you doing? Are you sure you can manage all of this? This is a very dangerous game you're playing. Now, if they just turn a blind eye to it and they're like, hey, football's football, and we don't want to upset the apple cart. We don't want another situation after we just had to go through Harbaugh. We're trying to straighten things out, so let's keep this quiet. That ain't right. That means, frankly, you hired the wrong guy, which I never understood why anyone connected to Harbaugh was allowed to stay around.
Well, that's why, like, turning the eye to the coaching search. Like the Jesse Minter stuff is insanity.
He has a show cause.
Like, he has a one-year show cause. The John Harbaugh noise is also ridiculous.
So let's stay on the Minter thing, because I didn't mention this yesterday.
Yeah.
The show cause is a recruiting violation. It's not necessarily involved in the sign stealing. But there's no way you will have me believe that the offensive coordinator and the defensive coordinator didn't know the benefits of sign stealing.
Oh, they knew.
They may not be in, like, totally involved in the scheme, but they were getting information. And if they weren't getting the information, they probably could see the results playing out.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you what, a couple of years ago, I know this, watching a Rutgers-Michigan game, and Greg Schiano at the half is like, I don't know what the hell's going on. Like, he wouldn't say it. And I know I talked to Barry Odom at the half, and he had the same feeling, like, hey, we have to make some adjustments because something's happening out there. Like, both of those guys recognized it. The opposition. You don't think Sherrone Moore and Jesse Minter, the OC and the DC, knew what benefits they were getting from having an extra info advantage?
They definitely do. They definitely
do. Everyone does it. Not to that level.
Not to that level. No. And it's funny because I don't mind Jim Harbaugh as much as some, but look, the tree, you got to get away from that tree at this point if you're Michigan. And that's why, like, again, Minter's ridiculous. The concept of John Harbaugh taking a college job is hilarious.
The horror came at us. I think it was maybe JVT and I were talking about it 2 days ago, and I was like, hey, no, you can't. It's not like the good brother and the bad brother.
No, and
honestly, I am really bothered by Harbaugh. I think he is a snake. I think he will do anything to win. I don't think he's an honorable guy. This whole Michigan man thing is a freaking joke. Yesterday, why ESPN let Adam Schefter be the lead on this? First of all, Adam Schefter really isn't very good on TV when you give him long form. If he has a chance to just bang out a report, it's fine. But it is so weird and awkward and uncomfortable when he tries to go on a rant. He really is a socially awkward dude. And now you've got his connections that he's got to protect, his info pipeline. He went to Michigan. Let's play the Schefter that we pulled yesterday where he's – I mean, you can think this behind the scenes, but to the optics of saying publicly when you know the police have him in custody – hey, we got to wait on Sherrone Moore to hear his side. Cut it out, bro.
What we haven't heard yet is Sherrone Moore's side of this. And he gets his say into this particular situation as well. And I do know that he felt like people had it in for him for an awful long time there while he was at Michigan. He felt like there were people who were out to get him. So all these things can all be true. It's possible that, yes, Michigan does have evidence that he had an inappropriate relationship with a staffer. And it could be that Sherrone Moore is right, that people had it in for him.
That had it in for him thing sounds like it's straight from an agent or the Sherrone Moore camp, which, with Schefter's history of making sure that the most important thing in his life, maybe over his family, is his relationship with agents, that is par for the course. Rich Eisen, also a Michigan guy, you can hear him on ESPN National and on our station, was a little stronger, but I didn't think strong enough.
I didn't see it in Sherrone Moore. When I've met him, he's been nothing but great to me, nothing but great to my family. All I know is, speaking on behalf, if I may, of the Michigan alumni base, this is terrible. This is something that I don't ever want to hear about any program or any coach or any family, let alone the one that I hold so near and dear.
Yeah, terrible is not strong enough. It's gross. It's embarrassing. It's a pattern of behavior. I am ashamed to have gone to that school. The people running this whole thing don't know what they're doing. They're embarrassing us. I demand change right now. The culture at the school that I hold near and dear, as he said, has lost its way. That's what needs to be said. And that's not jumping the gun, because there's so much freaking evidence. Detroit Sports Radio, there are a bunch of clips up from those guys. They did a great job. They talked about Schefter.
Did you see Adam Schefter today? Why is Adam Schefter allowed? He's clearly compromised. You're a Michigan water carrier. Oh, Sharon felt a lot of people were out to get him. And, you know, we need to hear his side. There's a bit of an issue. You took a knife to your mistress's house.
Hold on.
There's no other side here. How can Adam Schefter go to the air with that? You know, I really need to hear the other side of... I want to hear Jeffrey Dahmer's side. Were the brains tasty?
It's a good line. Dan Lebatard was real strong on this. He's not a Michigan man. Fire this one.
Michigan's got recruiting violations, illegal scouting scandal. They got Matt Weiss, one of the co-offensive coordinators, indicted for almost 10 years of downloading pictures of female athletes. And now this. How many do I have to put in front of you when I look at the leadership at Michigan and say, my God, rotten to the core?
It stinks. It stinks, and they're the ones who made this claim that they were above dirtbags like Ohio State and Michigan State. No, you're not. It's the same thing. It's football first, and more people need to come out who went to that school and say, I'm pissed. This is sullying the reputation of the school. You can win at football at Michigan without getting this down and dirty, and it's real dirty when you've got a coach. Listen, the womanizing is one thing. There are lots of coaches around the country who do it. You shouldn't be really at any workplace. It's very dangerous to crap where you eat. You should not be messing with subordinates, especially when you're of that level of power. And this is a massive structure. No one football coach should be above the rules to this point, especially Sharon Moore, who had no equity. But I think a lot of this was Michigan didn't want to have to get down in the mud again and have itself shamed and embarrassed. But now it's worse. So nice move. Nice way to manage it.
Why is Ward Manuel still employed?
I think that's amazing, too.
That's the biggest. Like, yeah, you want a title mixed in there, but yet all, like, again, the Stallions thing was embarrassing. This is horrific. And horrific's not even a strong enough word for it, but...
It was even the way Harbaugh carried himself, and they mostly backed him. Come on, man. He's such a con man. And some of the language he used, and threatening people in the Big Ten. This is what you want to be associated with to win football games. There, we have a laundry list of coaches who can go in there and carry themselves with some dignity and do it the right way. It's Michigan. Now, I understand. There are other schools where you're like, hey, man, they don't have a shot at this kind of coach unless they – play a little fast and loose with the rules. It's Michigan. Stop doing this.
Well, then who's next? Who's the right target?
I know your number one target is Kalen DeBoer, and I think he would do it the right way, but I don't know if you – I mean, that's the other thing. People have really good jobs, and Alabama's a really good job. You're kind of a dirtbag if you bail on Alabama this quickly. Who wants to go into a situation where you are going to be in cleanup mode, and then you're looking at the bosses and the powers that be that have been there, and they're low character people too. You want to be around people like that?
It's just a question of, for DeBoer's circumstance. DeBoer's an upper Midwestern guy to begin with, better fit culturally for him, especially with, again, I mean, geez, after the Florida State game, the entire state of Alabama was ready to run him out of there after just 14 games. But you know, it's, as I think about it more, The guy that I think would actually be the best of the bunch would be Kenny Dillingham, and the people betting in the or playing in the exchanges seem to think Kenny Dillingham is the favorite right now.
And by the way, what does that market even mean?
What does that even mean?
In the exchanges, how is that different than – well, there is nowhere – there's probably nowhere in the U.S. taking money on Next Coach. You might be able to get whatever book is on – there's books in Ontario, close by that you could play this.
Well, right now, when I saw about 30 minutes ago, Dillingham was 60% at Calshi.
Who's second?
It was DeBoer.
Okay. I think the best two candidates who would get them going in the right direction, I think would run a clean program, are Dillingham's really grown on me, I mean, you know, his candidacy. And I think Clark Lee would be a freaking slam dunk.
So the only guys, it's Dillingham is 53%, DeBoer's 19, Jed Fish is 14, Jesse Minter's 4, and then Clark Lee is 3.
Yeah.
And then Tom Brady is 1%.
You know, me banging on Michigan men, too, a lot of these, you know, these former players who went to Michigan, we'll continue with this. A lot of them were in, like, panic mode yesterday, like, what are we going to do? It's, you know, it's late. Transfer portal's opening up soon, and I forget who it is. You know what? It actually wasn't a Michigan person. Someone brought up Brian Kelly. After all this, and less than stellar character people, a guy who's been murdered for being low character on his way at LSU, Brian Kelly, really?
Live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company.
Yeah, so the news today about 4 hours ago, Sherrone Moore charged with home invasion, stalking. I'm guessing more charges could be on the way. The faraway place odds board for next Michigan coach, Kalen DeBoer plus 160, Jed Fish plus 350, Dillingham 4-1, Minter 650, that's stupid. John Gruden, why is he on the board? 7-1, come on. Marcus Freeman 45-1, Joe Brady 18-1, and then folks like Lincoln Riley is the same odds as Brian Kelly. They're 30-1. Yeah, Jeff Brom 45-1. I mean, Tom Brady's listed. That's stupid. So, yeah. Joel Klatt talked about this, and he had a list of three guys that he thinks are the leaders, and he I don't think he meant it to come across this way. I guess you set it up the right way, but he's saying these are the three guys.
One of these names that I'm going to tell you right now will be the next head coach at Michigan. Clark Lee, Vanderbilt. I think that his toughness, his history at Notre Dame as a defensive coordinator, so it's not like he's just a dyed-in-the-wool SEC guy. I know this man just signed an extension, but I would call Mike Elko. Mike Elko seems to really understand the way to build the program the right way. Kenny Dillingham at Arizona State, he's about the right things. He's seen it up close and personally.
So I don't think Elko will leave because I think you can be, if you want to be rotten to the core, and I don't think Mike Elko is a rotten guy, but those are the standards at A&M. Football is everything. So there's no rules.
Right.
And the standards are very high, but there's no limitations. He's got a stadium that holds 108,000. He's in the playoffs. Things are riding high. They got plenty of money above board, but behind the scenes. So I wouldn't leave Texas A&M for Michigan. As we mentioned, Dillingham and Clark Lee are pretty good choices. I gave you a bunch of other lists. I mean, some other names that were mentioned, Tony Elliott, Virginia, Manny Diaz at Duke. Whitlock had a list that included Brian Kelly, Dabo Sweeney, Jed Fish, Jimbo Fisher. You don't hate Jimbo Fisher the person, but you hate that even being mentioned.
That's one of the most preposterous things I've ever heard. I'm sorry. Like, Jimbo Fisher, like, he's the guy who has now caused all these, like, his contract basically started this. Hey, we can fire people because we don't like them as a coach anymore. Exodus, because that contract at A&M is still one of the more preposterous. And by the way, he had just given up by the time he was done at A&M. So I don't like that. Dabo Sweeney at Michigan seems completely bizarre, too. Like, that list seems completely bizarre. The only guy on that list that makes somewhat sense is Fish, but I don't think Michigan goes that route.
You know, another interesting name, and Adam Hill brought this up the other day, and there's a little bit of steam, is Jason Eck, who's a Wisconsin guy.
Sure.
I will say the body of evidence is not anywhere near complete. Can we pump the brakes on Jason Eck? Like, I like him a lot, too, but there was some Twitter handle that covers, you know, West Coast football, and it said, if you're looking for the next DeBoer Cignetti. Okay, Kalen DeBoer has coached for a long time. Kurt Cignetti's coached even longer. Like, mm-hmm. Kurt Cignetti is 64 years old. Like, I'm not age-shaming here with Jason Eck, but can we have a little more than 1 year at New Mexico and a handful of years at Idaho? I mean, I like his background. He did a great job. But so much of what you do in these quick hits at these different schools revolves around the quarterback. If you nail the quarterback, they nailed the quarterback because he brought his guy with him. Just like there's no guarantee off a holy cross and James Madison, that Bob Chesney is the right choice at UCLA?
We don't know.
Might work.
Could.
But there ain't, it's not like there's, you know, 10 plus years as a head coach. I mean, he coached at a very low level as a head coach, but, you know, you do take some risk. Here's the thing. Michigan's not in a position to take a risk where they have to take a risk. Season doesn't start 2 weeks from now. I understand the portal opens on January 2nd. It doesn't end on January 3rd. Doesn't go forever. There's a little timeline. You want to get it done before the new year, but they're not desperate. Unless there is the word out there that, hey, this is a school run by scumbags, and, like, the first 15 candidates are like, I don't want any part of that. I don't think that's going to be – I don't think that'll be the outcome.
I don't think so either. I also don't see as good as much as we like Atkoff for the 1 year. 1 year at New Mexico, that's who you're hire? Doesn't work with the fan base there in Michigan.
It's Cofield and Company, live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Jeff, what's the most expensive article of clothing that you own? It could also include, like, hats, shoes.
Wow, you're putting me on the spot.
Well, I was thinking of it because I'm watching Butch Knowles and Jeff Metters up on the big screens here, and these guys have been doing NFR since 91.
Woo!
And I'm just looking at the hats they have on. I also like those microphones. I'm guessing those kind of wrap around the back of the head and must hook over the ear, right? Because there's no way you're wearing real headphones with those hats, but the hat budget, I'm always blown away. And I was with a cow person in the past, a cowgirl, who had some hats. I didn't even dare to ask what she was spending on the hats. She had some nice ones. By the way, last time we talked to, what was it, Saturday, we talked to Alex because she did the show. She had just been fitted for, I think, a freebie hat. I was like, whoa. I'm like, that's nice. What's that hat worth?
I had the really high-end hats are insanely expensive. Not like my nice $25 cowboy hat that I have at the house.
You have a $25 one? Yeah, all right. I'm guessing that wasn't a big fitting process?
No, it was go on Amazon and get the biggest one possible and go from there.
There you go. Are you a Megadome?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Seven and three quarters or 7 7/8.
Yeah, we've got Adam Hill, who is somewhere like in the uncharted territories of the eights. And JVT's got a big noggin as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even think of that about that part. Like, you freaking go get a cowboy hat. Now, or, you know, if you have a mega head, you're Bruce Bochy. You have to pay more.
There you go.
I love the rodeo culture, though. I think it's so cool, and it's such a cool time of year. And, you know, as I was looking past these guys at their shot at the Thomas and Mack, their live shot, I was like, good for the Thomas and Mack that has survived, you know, the growth of this event. But you do think down the road, like, what – they already got effed with a couple of times with Orlando and Dallas, and we want this event here. Like, what are we going to have to do from a venue standpoint if they want to step up?
Is T-Mobile capable of hosting it?
No, I don't think so. I mean, the complicated factor is – one of the big reasons that Thomas and Mack has the event, aside from being in Las Vegas, is they have all the grounds.
Sure.
So, yeah. Like, we could talk about a stadium hosting it. I don't know that it would be configured the right way for the rodeo, and where the hell would all these animals go?
That's the biggest part right there.
I mean, you literally can walk all of them right through some apartments there on the property. Thomas and Mack property is massive, yeah, especially when you roll into parking lots, too.
Yeah, I mean, look, you got... The arena at the South Point obviously has a ton of room.
Yep.
That arena is obviously nowhere near as big as T&M, but you know it is an awesome event. The time I spent working with the South Point, I mean these 2 weeks are always amazing. Amazing, just all the Cowboys, and they're great people too. The Cowboys are amazing people as well. They always treat you great.
The other cool thing we have here is we generally have pretty good weather. I mean, this week has been, I guess early next week's gonna be awesome. I mean, this week's been just unreal. So you're not having your animals freeze their, you know, what's off outside in a cold weather climate. But speaking of that, I don't buy this football weather thing. And I saw someone yesterday. We had Xavier Pope on, who's a Chicago guy, and I think it was 27 yesterday in Chicago. And the Bears game is going to have a high of 11.
It got that high now?
Browns Bears is the forecast is for a high of 11 degrees. Windy, gust up to 22. So wind chill has it at 1.
Oh boy.
And I saw someone on EP's Threads account where the person's like, the hell with this. When they build a new stadium, this whole elements thing in football weather, put a roof on the place. Now, I don't think Chicago's ever going to have, like, a roof. Like, I mean, they could build something like Allegiant where you're still getting some sunlight. Northwestern Stadium, I think, is really cool. I think Buffalo's is really cool where the fans are protected from the elements. Like soccer stadiums, we talked about this.
Yep.
Not the field. And then also with the field in Buffalo, I'm guessing that Northwestern's got some sort of crazy heating system.
It'll be like Lambeau, but better.
Supposedly the field at Buffalo, like there should almost never be any snow on the field. Like even when it's snowing. And you figure, it can't keep up. Like the technology is going to melt it like that.
Yeah, I believe that. And, it's just,
But these games for fans, man. First of all, we'll get to the game itself. All these games. There's like five of these situations. Was it 2 years ago, the Kansas City game in the playoffs?
Oh, yeah, where you had fans with frostbite at the end of it. Yeah, I mean.
There were like dozens of people who went to the game and stayed the whole game and then had digits cut off.
Yeah, I'm trying to think because.
Like, I like football, but that's. I'm whining and crying about being out in the rain last week when it was 40 degrees in Boise and like, it's 32 and. At CSU and it's 36 in Reno. I'm freezing.
So
1 degree.
Cofield in 2000. The final game of the 2009 season. Bengals on a Sunday night, which ended up being the final game at the old Giants Stadium. It was 3 degrees a kick. I was at the game. It was 31-0 at halftime.
Oh my God!
My dad and I left because we were. Frozen. That is the coldest I've ever been. It actually was not bad in the stadium. The problem we had was my mouth felt like it was going to freeze when we were walking back to the car. That was the bigger issue more than anything else. That was frigid. I'm growing up on the East Coast. If you go to football games in December or January, if your team is fortunate enough to be there, you're getting mid-20s. You're getting mid-20s, high 20s, high teens. Nothing was as bad as that Sunday night against the Bengals. Thankfully, that game was over at halftime with being 31-0. That was a winning end game back when the Jets actually made the playoffs every once in a while.
Yeah, the coldest games I've been to, and I've talked about this on the air before, when I used to cover high school football and I think I went out to a game in, New Jersey. So in Union County, I just remember where it was. And it was like, it was unreal. Because you're sitting in one of those high school press boxes. If I'm not on the sideline, I'm like, I'll go upstairs. Maybe they have some heaters. And even in that wooden press box, I was like, this sucks. It was like 7 degrees. And I'm like, I just want to get home. Playing it, it's a whole other thing. Is it better for players now than it's ever been? Probably. I will tell you this, that at the UNLV games, in those road games, they did have the heated bench, which they are pretty damn good. They do work. They also had these, like, standing kind of fire torchy things where I don't know that the one of them is not working real properly because there's actually open flames, like, shooting at it. and there were
sounds dangerous.
Well, before we went to Boise, I was like, I don't like being wet, and I definitely don't want my feet wet. So I made sure, like, I had kind of boots and doubled socks, and I brought extra shoes and all that. But I also went and got, like, a rain outfit where it was waterproof. But there was a point, because it was kind of, it was real plasticky. There was a point that I stood near one of those, like, torch things, and I was like, wait a second, I got to get away from this because it's going to melt. Like, it's going to melt my jacket.
Yeah.
And I did not pull. This is something is right up my alley. The heated bench, I always have my cell phone in my back pocket. I could have seen myself sitting on there for like 4 minutes, and then I pull out my phone, and it's like just blank.
Yeah.
Like it just got fried by the heat. Now, collegiate level ways to stay warm on the sidelines are one thing. I'm sure the NFL has some better things, but in the end, it's still going to be cold as hell. And I wonder which games are affected because it says Browns at Bears, 11 degrees, wind chill 1. Right now for Sunday, there's no snow in the forecast. Friday, today, and tomorrow, maybe some flurries. Ravens, Bengals, that one's a high of 12. Wind chill gets it to 2. Since he is expected to get significant snow, what is that game going to look like? And, I mean, Burrow, they whipped it around the yard against the Bills.
Cincinnati's got a good history with Burrow playing in the snow. Obviously, that playoff game in Buffalo a few years back where they whipped them with no offensive linemen, if you remember that. They've been good in the snow. Now, it looks like the snow's going to be gone by the time the game starts. Okay. It just looks like it's going to be really, really cold and windy and miserable. And it's going to be the coldest game Lamar Jackson's ever played in.
Which is surprising, isn't it? That Baltimore hasn't had like a hellish game weather-wise?
I mean, they just have gotten lucky that they haven't played in Cleveland or Pittsburgh that late in the season with awful weather. By the way, it is going to be awful snow-wise tomorrow in Cincinnati. Mm. And right now we are looking at this is good, 7 degrees at kickoff. Mm. Sounds like fun.
Chiefs Chargers, last report, 23 degrees, some wind. The Chargers going to be into this thing the whole way, especially against the Chiefs, back against the wall, desperation situation. Herbert was a lunatic last week, throwing out stiff arms with his left hand broken. Chargers going to, really? In that weather?
But are the Chiefs even going to do anything at this point? I mean, that's what it is. I mean, it is really flabbergasting to see how done Kansas City really is at this point.
It's nuts. Bills Patriots, it's, what do you have? It says, this is the report this morning, 1 to 3 inches of snow. High of 32. It's going to feel like it's 22. Again, in New England, Buffalo against the Patriots.
Looks like the snow is going to be gone by the time the game starts, and it's going to be 30 degrees. So, all things considered, for December 14th in New England, not terrible.
We'll save Colts and Seahawks because we want to get back to we got to get back to Burrow for you too. But we want to get back and kind of really get into Phillip Rivers. But yeah. The other one is Monday night. Poor Mike McDaniel, like. Can you wear those sweatpants and be warm? Whatever that, especially because he wears them like, what are they called, jogger? And then he wears them like mid-calf. Because when he dresses warm, he looks ridiculous. And Tua in bad weather, again, the word is ridiculous.
I mean, I'm with you. Even though the weird thing now with Pittsburgh, so T.J. Watt's out. Like, T.J. Watt had surgery on a partially collapsed lung, which – I wonder, how do you partially collapse your lung? How does that happen? Not just fully collapse. I'm just curious on that. Don't really need the explanation. But the Dolphins are playing well. That's the only thing. But Tua got his first career win in sub-40 this past week. But that also took the Jets playing as bad of a quarter as I think I've seen them play all year, which is really an accomplishment in that regard.
I know I'm a – well, when it comes down – I'm actually – it's two parts. I am a absolute stan for old man Rodgers and Tomlin. So I'm not always objective on the Steelers. I have my bet with Gary Lawless.
Sure.
From the Knights and with Boomers of 9 wins over. We push on 9. This line looks short to me. But have I mentally given up on the Dolphins so much that I'm not seeing what they've been doing lately?
It's funny. I actually really like Miami a lot. But the only reason I haven't betted yet is because of Tua in the cold weather. That concerns me. And Tua, if Tua was playing an NFL defense that is capable of catching an interception that the Jets are just not, he would have thrown 3 last week. So there's always the concern that you get a Tua blow up in the cold. But I don't know. The Steelers are just a classic mediocre Tomlin team that's going to win the division because everybody else is not good. And they'll go 9-8 and that will be good enough. You're going to push your bell with Lawless.
VGK is not playing on Monday, right? I'm pretty sure. We got to get Lawless on. This is a big game.
Huge
big
game.
This is a big game for our bet, you know, a big game in real time. Yeah, so right now the NFL playoff picture, and this is what we'll build off of, and we're going to talk to our college football insider, Michael Felder, next hour. Right now, no Mahomes, no Burrow, no Lamar, no Baker Mayfield, no Goff, which is amazing that the Lions are on the outside looking in, no Dak, no Daniels. There's more shocking situations right now around the NFL. It's a wacky year.